The conference is now being recorded.
Okay, so we're now being recorded and we're going to get started. Again, my name is Adam Miller. I'm the Charter Schools Director here at FDOE. This is an overview of what we'll be covering today. Introductions, overview, we'll have an interactive Q&A at the end of the session, and then we'll present or offer all the contact information. This PowerPoint, I believe, was emailed to So we will post this PowerPoint on our website later this week, along with the audio recording. So if you give us a few days, you'll have access to the PowerPoint. Introductions, again, I've already introduced myself. I'm going to go around the room and allow my staff to introduce themselves.
I'm Chris Muir, Policy Director, Charter Schools.
Sandy Eggers, Program Specialist.
Yolanda Miranda Hill, Program Manager.
And then we also have in our office a group, our team from the Department of Environmental Protection, and I'll allow them to introduce themselves.
Good afternoon. This is Greg Ira, the Director of the Office of Environmental Education.
And this is Misty Alderman, Environmental Education Specialist.
And this is Jackie Zimmerman, also an Environmental Education Specialist.
Briefly, some instructions. As we indicated at the beginning, we've muted all of the phone lines. All of your phone lines, so we can't hear anything from your end. That helps to make sure that there's no background noise and that everyone can hear the presentation. We will unmute at the end of the presentation. If you have questions during the presentation, there's a chat box if you're logged into the webinar. You can type your questions into that chat box and we'll be monitoring that, and we will answer questions at the end of the presentation. During the Q&A section at the end, we will first address all of those written questions, and then we'll take questions over the phone lines as well. With that, I'm going to hand this over. Actually, before we, do you guys go over the kind of the how this began?
No.
Let me give a really quick overview of how the kind of the genesis of this project. Our office at DOE here, we have a federal grant, and part of that grant is meant to provide technical assistance and support to charter schools. We connected with the Department of Environmental Protection about a year and a half or 2 years ago. I don't remember who initiated the connection. I think it was maybe Chris Muir here, and we reached out to them and proposed this idea of them providing training across the state to teachers. They thought it was a great idea. They put together a really nice plan, and we executed a contract with them about a year ago, and that's what we're doing right now. So this project that we're running offers free professional development to teachers across the state, really high-quality training, and all of the training is aligned to either our existing standards or is in the process of being aligned to Common Core. So we think it's a real value. So with that very generic overview, I'm going to hand this over now to Greg Ira, and he will get into the details of the project.
Thanks, Adam. Okay. We'll go ahead into the presentation. As Adam mentioned, we'll do the questions last. That way I can get through the bulk of the presentation fairly quickly, and those that have the time to stay on can do so. All right, this first slide, we're basically looking at the rationale for why we're pursuing this project. And what we're trying to do is to really do two things. We're trying to provide assistance by way of addressing teacher professional development needs for charter school teachers. And the other thing is we're trying to make sure that we're helping you meet your requirements for educator certification. These are some of the things that you are probably already familiar with. We're not going to go into a lot of detail here with the educator certification renewal requirements, but we did want to put this up there. Most of our courses that we are offering through this program are six-hour courses, so they're getting six in-service points for those courses. Some of them, they may receive a few more in-service points, and we do have a few half-day courses that we're offering. We'll talk a little bit more about the options later. Okay, One of the things that we're trying to let people know about when we explain why we're doing this, you know, I think the charter school office here was being very proactive when they came up with this idea of this project. We know teachers' time is limited, and it takes a lot to organize quality teacher professional development. It also can cost a lot of money if you're going to outside entities. The Florida Department of Environmental Protection obviously is a state agency. Our Office of Environmental Education is quite small, but we share a common goal of providing high-quality teacher professional development in a very convenient way. And this just made perfect sense for us to be able to offer workshops at no cost to the participating teachers at your own location on a date that meets your own availability. So we've come up with an opportunity to make these courses available, and I think we're addressing some of these issues of time and funding availability through this project. Okay, this is basically reiterating the general goal of the project, and you can see some of these pictures are from teacher professional development workshops that we've offered either through this project or previously. All right, just to very quickly give you a little bit of background about our office. Our Office of Environmental Education has been in the Department of Environmental Protection for over 15 years. Right now, our program is focused around three sub-program areas. One is a field-based project where we bring middle school students out to our state parks. That's called the Learning in Florida's Environment Program. The second big area of our program is the Florida Green School Network. In fact, later this week on Thursday, we will be recognizing the 16 finalists in this year's Green School Awards program for Florida. We've also been offering teacher professional development for over 10 years in the Office of Environmental Education, and this project is just one extension of that. And then we're also engaged in many outreach activities during the course of the year. All right, back to this specific project. Adam mentioned in his introduction that we put together a proposal for the charter schools office here. And one of the things that we wanted to do is really go through a systematic needs assessment. And you may remember a survey that went out probably over a year ago where we sought to get additional information on some of the needs for teacher professional development in the areas of science, technology, and the environment. Obviously, those are the areas that we specialize in our program area. And we collected a lot of data. The numbers here, I know it's a little bit fuzzy on the screen. The numbers here basically gave us some sense of some of the priorities for some of the charter schools around the state. And we've tried to take that into consideration as we've designed the offerings that we're making available through this project. These are some of the characteristics of the offerings that we're providing, and I'll go into the specific courses that we offer in another slide. But we are trying to address the Department of Education's professional development protocols and the way we design and deliver our professional development workshops. As I've mentioned, we're very flexible in our availability in terms of bringing these workshops to you. Most of the courses that we are offering right now have been correlated to Florida standards, national standards, and some are in the process of being aligned with the Common Core standards as well. While the project itself isn't considered to be a STEM initiative, we are addressing through the courses science, technology, not so much engineering, but you may want to replace that engineering E with an environment E, and there is math associated with almost every one of the workshops that we offer as well. This is an important point that we may come back to later, but these are cross-curricular programs that integrate all the subject areas for the most part. We are helping to the best of our ability to make sure that participating teachers are able to earn their in-service points for participation in the workshops. And the materials both the books, the curriculum guides, and in some cases some of the equipment is being provided, and the cost is being covered by this grant, and we're making that available to the teachers that participate. Okay, these are some of the main workshops that we are offering. And if you are familiar with programs related to science and the environment, these represent the very best in, for the most part, national teacher professional development when it comes to the environment and science. I'll explain a little bit more about each of these in the coming slides, but I think you can see we have a fairly wide range of offerings that we can make available based on your need. There are a few additional opportunities that we have, and we may be able to describe some of those in the discussion at the end. Okay, this slide is basically showing the concentration of charter schools around the state. This is from your own website. We have overlaid the stars onto this map, which shows where we've already offered workshops under this project, as well as where we have some upcoming workshops. We obviously want to have a wide geographic coverage of the state when it comes to delivering and offering these workshops, but we recognize that the majority of the charter schools are in South Florida, and we do want to make sure that we're reaching that part of the state and covering it adequately. Okay, just some feedback from, I think, one of the most recent quarterly reports that we've put together for the charter school office based on our workshop evaluations. Here you can see on the screen some of the feedback. The items listed in the first column are statements, and the teachers that participate in the workshop indicate the extent to which they agree or strongly agree with those statements. And you can see that the vast majority, in fact, I mean, I think the lowest score here is 94%. Agreeing or strongly agreeing with each of those statements in their evaluation. We have a complete, if you're interested in the complete evaluation set, we can send that to you if you have interest. This is just, this is the data for all of the 13 questions that we ask in our evaluation, all 13 items. And I know this is very small, but I think you can get a sense after a quick look at this that the workshops are being received very well by the teachers that are participating. Here are a few more anecdotal comments that we've culled from some of the evaluations as well. Okay, just a few images from some workshops, some from this project and some prior to. We are, like I said, we've been offering workshops in our Office of Environmental Education for over 10 years, and we've really developed, I think, a fairly systematic approach to presenting these workshops. One of the things that's important is that we model some of the science methods that we're trying to get across to the teachers as we deliver our workshops, and that's something that's very important to us. So you'll see many of our workshops are done in the field where teachers are actually using and demonstrating some of the technology as well as some of the methods, whether it's the instructional delivery methods that we're trying to get across. And of course, our staff are experts in their content areas. So in terms of what we're offering, we're addressing kind of the functional areas of subject area content, technology, and instructional delivery methods. Okay, here we're getting into some of the details of some of the courses that we offer. I'm not going to list or walk through each of these bullet points here. I'm just going to summarize a little bit the main differences and strengths of some of these course offerings. Project Learning Tree is a national program, and its focus is on ecosystems and forest ecosystems in particular. They have a number of high-quality courses. Their core program dealing with forest ecosystems, but many others that kind of branch out, if you will, into other areas that relate to natural ecosystems in the environment. These are interdisciplinary. Most of the courses that we offer are relevant to K through 12 educators. The vast majority that participate, and probably the bulk of the materials, would relate to, I would say, K through 8. But the high school content is there as well. This is, for example, the website for Project Learning Tree, and you can see here that these programs are high quality. As I said, they're national programs. They've been tested. They're implemented in the various states through partner organizations like our own. And we work closely with the other partner organizations in Florida as we are delivering this program. And this is something that if you have questions about, we can also talk about during the discussion point. Okay, another offering that we make available is Project Wild. Again, this is looking at science and the environment kind of through the context of wildlife. And for those of you who've worked with elementary and middle school students, there are very few things that can compete with an owl in the classroom or some wildlife in a touch tank. And this is a great opportunity to really use that interest that students have in wildlife to introduce science and math and language arts and to be creative about how we can capture that motivation for learning. Again, you know, we're partnering with some of the agencies in Florida, like the Fish and Wildlife Commission, as we deliver some of these programs related to Project Wild. Schoolyard wildlife is similar. The focus here is on what you can do on your school grounds, and we recognize that budgets are tight and doing things on the school grounds is often the only opportunity that schools will have to do these outdoor hands-on activities. So this is a good option for them as well. Very similar in terms of using wildlife as the entry point for teaching about the environment and related subjects. More information on the program here. Okay, Project WET is water education for teachers. This is one that we've been very active with in Florida because of the critical importance that water plays in our state. Really, water allows us to address just about any subject, and its importance in Florida can't be overstated. In fact, it is one of the top three priorities for the Department of Environmental Protection right now, whether we're looking at water quality or just making sure we have the right quantity of water in the right place at the right time. So water education is extremely important. It is something that we're doing a lot with even beyond teacher professional development in some of our other programs, such as establishing water quality monitoring programs, voluntary water quality monitoring programs for students and teachers. Project WET is also implemented in part through our water management districts, and we're working closely with them in the delivery of this program. You can see here that the water education or Project WET program is correlating the content in that curriculum with not only the Common Core, but with other initiatives like the Ocean Literacy Campaign. That's a national campaign to increase ocean literacy among the population, something that's very important in the state of Florida, too. Okay, Healthy Water, Healthy People is something of a spin-off of the Project WET workshop, but it's designed, it's geared more towards the establishment and implementation of voluntary water quality monitoring programs. And these are programs that would introduce students to water chemistry, the physical parameters of water quality, the biological parameters of water quality, and it really has just a tremendous opportunity for supporting service learning initiatives that schools may have. And schools can, for example, address natural water bodies, or they could address man-made water bodies. So it's very easy to do, and this particular curriculum makes it really makes the process of setting up such a water monitoring program quite easy, and we'll walk you through each of the steps. Another image from one of our Florida Springs up here in North Florida. Okay, down to the nuts and bolts here about how to get started. If you're interested in one of these teacher professional development workshops, we have at the end of the slideshow, I think, our phone number. You can contact us directly or by emailing us. You can also look at our website, which I think if we have time, we'll go to and show you, so you'll see what that looks like. And I think you've probably been receiving a number of emails, flyers, and other information from the charter school office here. We're sending the same information out through our contacts and networks, trying to get the word out to all of you that this opportunity is available, and we hope you'll avail of it. Okay, what do we need to really make one of these workshops happen? As you can imagine, pulling together a workshop and taking it on the road takes a lot of preparation. It's very difficult for us to do that if we don't have a fairly good number of teachers that are going to participate. And we're trying to set as a minimum 15 teachers before we would move a training forward. Now, that doesn't have to be 15 teachers from your own school. It can be 15 teachers from your school and neighboring schools. And we've even opened up some of these courses to other non-charter school teachers as well, although our focus is on the charter school teachers, and they would get the most direct benefit and would be prioritized. We need to have a really strong contact person from your school. It's really important that we kind of keep the communications open between your school as the host for one of these workshops and our office as we move forward to establish the date and plan to deliver that particular workshop. In terms of location, we are extremely flexible. We can host this at your school, at a third-party site, at a site that's within our agency, possibly even a state park. So we're very flexible on where these courses could be offered. It's typically more convenient to offer them at your school, but you just need to let us know what your preference is. It takes us some advance notice to work things out with your district's in-service kind of staff development coordinator, and so in that sense, we really like to have a minimum of 30 days advance notice, and generally even more of that than that before we schedule the training. Now we've done it in less time, but that would be our preference. We've been focusing primarily on six-hour workshops. There are some opportunities for half-day workshops, and we can talk a little bit more about that if there are questions in the discussion. We are going to provide on our end the facilitators from our staff and from other partner organizations in the state. We will be flexible in the scheduling and delivery of the program. We will provide all of the materials, and as I mentioned before, this not only includes the curriculum guidebooks, but we've also provided additional reference materials and additional resources, as well as some manipulatives and even some very simple water quality monitoring test kits in some cases. We will work with you during the course of the workshop on how you can integrate some of the activities lessons that are presented through that workshop into your curriculum map for the year. It's something we do in some of our other programs as well. We will take the lead in coordinating with your district in-service staff member and do the best that we can to make sure that you're getting the appropriate number of in-service points for the workshops that we offer. And of course, our time both before the workshop and after to answer any questions that you may need and to really make it fit your particular situation. Okay, this grant will technically end on January 1st. There is a possibility, if necessary, that we may have a no-cost extension to run beyond that time frame. However, we're trying to get in as many workshops as we can before the end of December. So if you're interested, please don't wait. Give us a call, you know, as soon as you can so that we can try to get things scheduled. This is also a busy time for our office, but we'll do what we can to make something happen if you have a strong interest and a group of teachers that want to participate. If it is something that would only happen after January, don't rule it out. We'll talk and discuss that and see what we can work out. The contact information for the coordinator for my office, Jackie Zimmerman, is listed there, and you can reach both her or any of our staff in the Office of Environmental Education if you have questions about the program. Okay. So that's the overview of the presentation. I think we may have a few schools already, a few questions from schools already, and I'll go ahead and start with those questions that have been submitted in writing. And we're going to go ahead and look at this first question. Will you please explain the difference between CEUs and in-service points and what the equivalency is? Are CEUs the same as college hours? And I am going to turn to Jackie Zimmerman in our office to give you a quick overview of that based on our understanding of that difference.
CEUs and in-service points are not the same thing. CEUs, I think, are closer to college hours, but I would defer you to the Department of Education site to get the more specific details. In-service points would be more of the equivalency for meeting college hours, and I believe we can go back to that slide.
This information is directly from the Department of Education's website right here.
Right.
I know it's hard to read, but...
And if you'll go to that site, they actually have it listed there, and they explain out the details of it. My understanding, though, is that CEUs are what? Continuing education units, and they're more closely associated with college hours. But in-service points there, they give you an option if you cannot attend a college course, because, of course, that would take a semester-long commitment. Teachers would have to sign up, spend hours attending, doing materials, things of that nature. There is an equivalency you can do, which is in-service points. And they actually provide this on the website where 60 in-service points would equal a three-hour course. Once again, I would direct you to the Department of Education's website. They provide some excellent information and resources there for that.
So if you look at the numbers here, and if we're offering 6 in-service points on average for each of our workshops, you're not going to reach your requirement of 120 in-service points by attending these workshops. We see these workshops as supplementing your ongoing recertification efforts, and it is on a smaller scale than what you would be able to get by going to a college for additional professional development.
And if I may add, this is Misty. So as Greg mentioned, each 6-hour workshop would qualify for 6 in-service points, but there is the option of extending that up to the number of hours or points the workshop qualifies for itself through the follow-up activities. So a 6-hour workshop could guarantee 6-hour in-service points, but could qualify for a total of 12. So hopefully that's helpful for you.
Or you wanted to share your desktop and go through the...
Yeah, what we'll do now, I think, is I've got a few web pages that I want to show you. But if you have other questions, please continue to enter them through the chat feature. And I think one's just come in here. Can the workshop be on a weekend? Yes,
absolutely.
The short answer is yes, it can be on a weekend. If you can get the teachers there on the weekend, we can get ourselves there on the weekend.
Just to give you an idea how flexible we are, I had one principal ask about doing 2 half days, meaning we would come on a Friday and do the other half on a Saturday, and we're currently working with her on that. We have no problem doing that. Once again, we just try to work with your schedule and meet your needs.
Okay.
No, you have to go to...
Oh, share my...
Go to the bottom. And then
Okay, you should see now our desktop, and I'm going to just show you a few websites that you may want to familiarize yourself. This is the Florida Department of Education's charter school page, and I'm sure many of you have already gone to this for various reasons. If you scroll down to this point, you can get to information about this project here under the DEP Professional Development link. Now that should take you to a page that looks like this, and if you continue to go through that, okay, so these are the offerings that we currently have on the website, and you can use this to register for a workshop that's already scheduled, but don't let this information limit you. If you want to organize and get a workshop organized for your area, you'll need to contact us directly. We will work with you to put that workshop together. Then we'll post it up on this website so that others can also sign up to participate and register in that workshop if it's not already full or filled by your own teachers from your school.
And so if you're ever looking for the contact information, you just cannot seem to find it. If you go to, again, this website, if you scroll for a second, we have contact information under the Florida Department of Environmental Protection box there. It'll say show more. So if you could just click on that. And it will, again, have email, phone number, again, to contact us directly. And it also lists the workshop offerings, the different programs we offer. So again, this is accessible through Department of Education's main website in the charter section for the school's choice. And you can just select it on the left-hand side to get you to this website. So again, left-hand side, DEP Professional Development will take you to that page. You can always scroll down and you can get the contact information right there or additional information for these programs.
Okay, I want to show you one other thing before we jump back to the main page. I think I'd like to just let you know that one of the courses that we are offering and have offered so far that is not listed among the items that I've already shared with you is a Green School Teacher Professional Development Workshop. Our office is one of the lead partners on the Florida Green School Network. And we've been actively involved in organizing and putting on the annual Florida Green School Awards. We've worked this year to develop a workshop for teachers, and we offered that workshop for the first time at Pine Jog. The second time at Pine Jog, and I think the first time at Learning Gate Charter School outside of Tampa. So that's another opportunity if you're interested in Green School initiatives. Please think about that and let us know. Green School initiatives in Florida last year alone, based on the projects that were submitted through this program, generated $20 million in gross cost savings to the participating schools and school districts. Okay. Go back. All right, let's see if there are some other questions here. Nothing new. We're going to open it up to the phone questions, so if you have a question, you'd like to share it.
Presentation mode is now disabled.
You can go ahead and now post or present other questions through your phone.
We used to go all the time in elementary.
We
called it the algorithm.
Any questions for those that are on the phone?
Talk to it and
if there aren't any questions at this moment, I'm going to do a quick participation count. If you just wait 1 second, you'll hear monitoring.
You want to get the go ahead for that? It's like a land bomb out behind there. No. I guess. We have access to
Okay, I think everybody is still unmuted at this point. If there are any questions from any of the participants, go ahead and present those now. You can either type it in or just raise it on the phone. Is there anyone on the call that's already participated in one of our teacher professional development workshops?
No, I have. This is Carmela. I have not participated. This is actually my first one, and I'm just trying to find out what is available out there for the teachers and so on. And I just kind of browsed the site and saw this, and I said, well, let me listen in and see what is available.
Okay, well, great. That's what we're here for with this webinar, just to get the word out to more teachers and school administrators. So if you think there might be a fit, please give us a call, and we'll discuss it with you and try to find an option that might work for you now in December.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Hi, this is Peggy Camardo in Volusia County. I have two charter schools. I just want to say thank you. This is awesome. I have four or five teachers that have taken Project Wild.
Great.
I love that program. It's a great one. A lot of good resources in that one.
Speaking of, I noticed Mr. Charles Owen was on the call at one point. I don't know if he's still there, from West Palm Charter. We do have two workshops scheduled in your county this Friday and Saturday. We'll probably be sending out another email announcement of those, but definitely if your teachers are interested in that. The workshop is currently doesn't have enough numbers to make it a go just yet, so if you have any interested teachers, we'd love to have you join us and make it happen in Palm Beach.
Okay, I'll check with administration.
You go to their website, right, and see what all...
Thank you.
Okay.
I am from My Choice Academy, and I am interested in my teachers participating with the training here in Palm Beach County. So I will be presenting this to them at our 2 o'clock meeting today, and I will proceed in having them to register.
Fantastic. Thank
Wonderful.
You.
Wonderful. And the two workshops, it will be on October 19th. That's Friday. It's an in-service day, I believe, in Palm Beach, and that's a combined Project WET and Healthy Water, Healthy People. So there's two programs presented in one workshop, and so you'll see these two programs.
Okay. Do you have any other dates? Because I've already scheduled a training for that date.
Not a problem. We also have one scheduled on October 20th. That's a Project Wild and Aquatic Wild. Again, two programs combined on that one. And if none of those seem to work, you let us know the date. We can always arrange something for your school. We just need the coordinate there to get the numbers and everything.
That'd be great. So I will contact Zimmerman.
Yes, that's me.
Okay, that'll be great. You'll be hearing from me no later than next week.
All right.
Okay. Well, actually, the workshops you're just referencing are this week. That's Friday, which you said you already have something scheduled for, and this
Right. I will be calling to coordinate something to be hosted at my school.
Okay. Well, again, if you don't hear from us right away with the email announcement of the workshops, again, you can just go to that website, the Eventbrite page. Link has all the details listed there for you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
And I should also mention we have one workshop over in Escambia County there happening on October 19th as well. That's a combined Project Wild and Schoolyard Wildlife workshop that was requested by a principal over there. And so that one's still open for seating. That one is occurring. So if you're interested, go ahead. You can log right in to Eventbrite and sign up for free right there.
Are there any other questions from the participants?
Just a reminder that we're going to post the PowerPoint and the archive recording by the end of the week if you want to share this with your school staff and your school leaders for further information.
All right. If there are no further questions, I want to thank everybody for taking time during their lunch hour to join us and learn a little bit more about the teacher professional development offerings through the Department of Environmental Protection's Office of Environmental Education. Again, these are courses that deal with science, technology, and the environment. and we'd be glad to discuss with you specifics based on your needs and interests. So please give us a call, and we'll try to schedule something soon.
I have one more question.
Sure.
Yes.
Is there a maximum number of participants?
Technically, they say 30, but I've worked with groups of 40 or more, and if you have a high number of teachers, we can certainly bring in more than one facilitator and handle larger groups.
Okay, thank you.
And I also like to point out at this time, a lot of counties do require some sort of follow-up or some showing proof that you integrated it into the classroom. So we usually we always try to offer at the end of each of the workshops some time to help the teachers either further develop a lesson plan that's already existing or develop a new one that they've had ideas about and show them how to integrate what they've just learned in the workshop into those lesson plans so that when they leave, ideally, they already have something that shows the workshop knowledge with the current lesson plans they have for their classroom.
Wonderful.
Can I ask one favor before we sign off? For people that are still on the line, if you don't mind, could you type into the chat box on the screen the last teacher professional development offering that you had at your school from an outside entity that dealt with science or technology? If you could type that in there if you have a chance. I'm interested in seeing what some of the other offerings are that you're availing of, and we'd greatly appreciate it if you could do that. Other than that, if there are no other questions, again, I want to thank you all for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you in one of our upcoming teacher professional development workshops.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.